Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Phil Steele is with us. It's time. It's college football season, folks. Or at least it's almost college football season. Every year, Phil puts out his college football preview. And, of course, he joins us now. The 2019 version, the 25th anniversary, is out. We're all excited about that. We're all excited about the start of the season. And, Phil, you know, it's going to be a huge year for the Buckeyes, as it always is, but a lot of change. New quarterback, new head coach. What should the expectations be from you about the Buckeyes right now?
Well, I think the season for Ohio State probably going to be like last season as well, come down to that final game of the season. I think when you look at Ohio State, they've got the overall talent level. I think the first thing I see when I look at Ohio State is an improved defense. And let's face it, last year's defense, I think it was the second worst in school history, giving up 403 yards per game. I see huge improvement with nine starters back, maybe down to 333 yards per game. And offensively, Justin Fields is going to give a different type of offense for Ohio State. Last year, Dwayne Haskins threw for 50 touchdown passes, but it was unusual because under Urban Meyer, Ohio State had never gone more than two consecutive games without topping 200 yards rushing. Last year, there was eight times they had 154 yards or less rushing the football. So it was an unusual year for the offense and defense last year. I think they'll get back to running the football more with Justin Fields at quarterback. Not going to throw for 50 touchdown passes. Probably my biggest concern on offense would be the offensive line with just one starter back from the offensive front. How that unit matures throughout the season will be a key factor. But I love the skilled players at running back and wide receiver. And I think when you look at the schedule, very manageable this year. The road games are Indiana. Nebraska is going to be a tough one. We know the Huskers gave Ohio State a battle last year in Columbus. Now they get them at home. And Nebraska is my number one most improved team in the country.
Wow.
Northwestern,
wow,
a team that can always pull an upset. And Rutgers are the four road games. But I've got Ohio State favored in the first 11 games. So for me, Ohio State's success and season this year probably comes down to that season final at Michigan.
Phil, when you look at a quarterback like Justin Fields, who really hasn't played, I mean, he played a little bit at Georgia prior to transferring, but not significantly, how do you project how he'll fit into an offense that we don't really know what to expect with Ryan Day as a first-time head coach? How do you project that?
Yeah, I think he'll fit in well. You look at the overall talent level. He was my number two rated quarterback coming out of high school. You know, he's a guy that is very talented. Now, at Georgia, the knock was maybe he didn't pick up reading the defenses as good. And hopefully that matures here. It's now his second year in college. And we know his athleticism. And he's got the arm to get the ball down the field. And he's got an excellent set of receivers to throw to. So I think he'll have a good year. I don't think it's going to be anything like Dwayne Haskins' year last year with 50 touchdown passes, where Haskins really didn't run the football that much until the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see Fields use more as a runner. But the Buckeyes are going to have to be careful because I do think there's a drop-off when you go from Justin Fields to a Gunnar Hoke or a Chris Chuganoff. I think there's a pretty significant drop-off there. So they got to keep Fields healthy this season.
We're talking with the guru of college football, Phil Steele, college football preview. Phil, you talk about the defense improving for Ohio State. You know, obviously last year with Greg Schiano, there was a lot that went on there. Maybe some distractions in terms of coaching, and he almost got another job and everything that was going on with Urban Meyer. How much is it fair to blame the coaching for the lack of success for the defense last year?
I'm going to go more towards the personnel last year.
Okay.
I think we saw some breakdowns. And you look at the amount of big plays that happened on the defensive side of the ball that they allowed last year. It seemed like every game there's two or three 60, 70-yard runs, which really going to hurt your yards per game average. And that usually comes down to one individual breakdown where somebody gets through. And, you know, I was underwhelmed with the back seven last year. I think a year of experience will help. This is a unit that's got plenty of talent. These guys were all highly touted coming out of high school and should be improved. But I'm going to point my finger more at the personnel last year than the coaching staff.
We're talking with Phil Steele. Phil, let's talk about the Wolverines of Michigan because you have them ranked higher than Ohio State. A lot of people project them to win the Big Ten this season. I think you do as well. What makes this year any different than the past?
Well, first, Dustin, I could tell you that the last 11 years, Every time I do a radio show in Michigan, they accuse me of being a homer because I've picked Ohio State over Michigan 11 straight years. So I've been a guy that's constantly looked at the two teams talent-wise. Yeah. I've been right 10 of them, so that's always a good factor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of people have been jumping up and screaming Michigan in past years. I haven't been one of them, but this is the reason I like Michigan this year. First of all, you look at them defensively, and, you know, even giving up 100 points the last two games last year, they still only allowed 19 points per game last season.
Crazy.
That was a good defense. And while they lose some players and only have five starters back, the overall last year they gave up 275 yards per game. 2 years ago they had one returning starter on defense. They gave up 271 yards per game, 18.8 points per game. Don Brown gets the most out of the talent on hand. He's got talent to work with. So I'm thinking Michigan does, in my mind, look like a top-10 defense once again. Offensively, I was recently working on the Football Writers Association list for the Outland Award for the preseason. I had four Michigan guys on there. Unlike Ohio State, which has an inexperienced offensive line, you're looking at Cesar Ruiz, Owenu, Bredesen, and then Runyon. These all four guys, veterans, all have earned all Big Ten honors somewhere along the line, all very capable of getting that All-American potential, and all have NFL potential as well. Then you look at the skill players. Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Peoples-Jones was the number one wide receiver coming out of high school. They had in Mike Sanristil, the true freshman who was dynamic in the spring. Tariq Black is another guy that could really emerge a receiver. And I think in the new offense that Josh Gattis is bringing in, they're going to utilize those receivers more. So you're going to see those guys put up the stats they haven't been putting up in the personnel they've been running, which has been 22 at times with a fullback and two tight ends. The running back's probably the biggest question mark in experience-wise, but there's talent. Then the spread offense. I think it's the perfect fit for Shea Patterson, and they're going to let him run more, and should have something happen to Shea Patterson. I like Dylan McCaffrey. I like Joe Milton. I like Cade McNamara. Those are three very capable VHTs in the background that can all run and pass, so I think they're deeper at the quarterback position. Does Michigan have a weakness on special teams? No. Rate them number 7 in the country. And then how about the schedule? The three toughest teams they play this year are Notre Dame, Michigan State, Ohio State. They get all three teams at home. So add it all up, I think Michigan can run the table this year and make the playoff. And once again, I've not been one of those guys that's been screaming Michigan the last couple of years. I've picked Ohio State 11 straight years.
We're previewing the college football season with Phil Steele of College Football Preview. Phil, in addition to Ohio State and Michigan, you've got four other teams in the Big Ten in the top 25. You mentioned Nebraska briefly as your most improved team, but also Michigan State, Penn State, and Iowa as well. Which of those teams is the biggest threat to the Big Two?
I'm going to go with Nebraska this year for the path to get to the title game, which means you're one game away from actually winning the Big Ten. When I look at Michigan State, I do think they're going to be a much improved team, but they have to play Ohio State on the road, Wisconsin on the road, Michigan on the road, as well as Northwestern on the road, so it's a tough slate. With Penn State, I'd probably be a little bit higher on them. Every time I talk to Coach Franklin the last 3 years, he has said, hey, it's not just one at quarterback with Trace McSorley. It's 1 and 1A. Tommy Stevens is right there. Well, Tommy Stevens is my projected starting quarterback at Mississippi State now. I like Penn State's defense, but they also play a tough schedule. I got to play Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan State all on the road. That leads me to Nebraska. And the reason I'm high on Nebraska this year is really twofold. First of all, with Nebraska, they're in a lot better shape. I mean, Scott Frost took over last year. He wanted to implement the spread offense, a spread offense with an option-oriented quarterback. And he was taking over a pass-happy team under Mike Riley. Pass-happy schemes with the offensive line blocking. They had to change that around. They had to change a lot of things around the offense, and it took time. First six games last year, they averaged 23 points per game. Last six games, 37 points per game. Remember the scare they threw into Ohio State and Columbus?
Yep.
Only losing that one 36-31. Defensively, they're not the black shirt defense. They haven't been the last couple of years. They've given up over 430 yards per game. But they've got six starters back, and I think they will be much improved on defense. Not top 10 defense, but good enough. And then the second factor is the schedule this year. When I look at the schedule, you know, Michigan drops off the schedule. Michigan State drops off the schedule. In fact, they also avoid Penn State. The only one of the big four that they get is Ohio State, and they get them at home. So it's an interesting situation there. And then when you look at the Big Ten West, probably their main three rivals are Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Iowa. They get all three of those teams at home. I could see Nebraska going from 4-8 to potentially double digits. They're my number one most improved team in the country. And last year, my number one most improved team in the country, Florida, went from 4-7 all the way up to number 7 in the poll. So if you get Nebraska in a one-game matchup against Ohio State or Michigan in the Big Ten title game, that would give them a decent shot at knocking off one of the big two.
Phil, do you think we'll see a rematch again, Alabama-Clemson, the national championship game?
You know, it looks like it this year. Most of the power ratings say that. Clemson's going to be a 17-plus favorite in every single game. Alabama's going to be a double-digit favorite in every single game. But I'll throw some hope out there for those that are not, they're rooting against Alabama-Clemson. And doing all the shows I have across the country, I can tell there's a lot of folks that don't want to see that matchup again. The first one would be on Alabama's side of the coin. The Tide has actually beaten Georgia each of the last 2 years. You know they've led for a grand total of 1 minute and 4 seconds in those games combined. They won the one game in overtime. It was the only time they led all game, was on the last play of the game. And last year they trailed and were tied for all but a minute and 4 seconds and pulled out the win. So Georgia's an even better team. So there's a chance Georgia could sneak in there. And then how about Clemson? As dominant as Clemson was in the national championship game and for most of the season, they were actually a 4-touchdown home favorite against Syracuse last year, yet were down by 2 scores in the fourth quarter. They needed their third-string quarterback to convert a 4th-and-10 pass to keep their final scoring drive alive. Had that not happened, they would have been 7-1. Syracuse would have been 7-1. Guess who would have been the ACC title game? Syracuse.
Yeah.
Clemson might even have missed the playoff last year. So the beautiful thing about college football, anything can happen. And even last year in Clemson's dominant year with that defensive line, they almost didn't make the ACC title game.
We're talking with Phil Steele. Hopefully try to get some new teams in there. Now, maybe it would help if they had an 8-team playoff. I'm in favor of that, Phil. You're a bigger college football guy than me. I'd like to see it stay at 8, not go any further than that. But what do you think is the future for the playoff? Do you like the idea of going to 8, and do you think it will happen?
Yeah, I'm a little prejudiced here, Adam. I love the 4-team playoff, and let me explain why. Back in the magazine, I think it was 15 years ago, I wrote the first article. I was tired with the BCS. I felt the best team didn't get in the championship game 2 out of 3 years, and I was frustrated. I said, here's my solution. Let's go to a 4-team playoff, 1 against 4, 2 against 3. And I wrote about it in the magazine for 10 years, and it finally came to fruition. So I'm thrilled that playoff situation took over. I think it like the Clemson game for last year, for example. They may have missed the playoff had they lost that game. The regular season is the most important of any season, college or pro. And the other thing I like about a 4-team playoff is that it doesn't turn into a battle of attrition during the playoffs. You don't get the healthiest team that wins a championship. You get the best team that wins a championship. In fact, 2 out of 3 years in FCS play, the third-place team in a division in the Colonial Conference was playing for the national championship because the top teams had all got injury-plagued during the long playoffs. So I definitely agree with you, not past 8. But I'm a 4-team playoff guy.
Fair enough.
All right, got to ask you about your Heisman favorites. Who do you think is going to be in the mix, and who wins it?
Yeah, you got to put the top two guys out there, Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa. And when you look at those two, you know, the preseason favorites haven't been doing very well, but these guys are going to put up great stats. They're playing on the most explosive offenses in the country. The Heisman is really one of those where it's not only a player award, it's a team award. Your team has to be doing well,
yeah.
And these teams will probably be 1-2 at the end of the year with both quarterbacks picking up big stats. But if you're looking for some other guys, I am going to throw out Shea Patterson of Michigan. If he thrives in this spread offense and Michigan runs the table, all of a sudden he's going to be there, and he's got some electric receivers to throw to. How about Justin Herbert of Oregon?
Yeah.
He can make a big statement in the opening game of the season against Auburn. He'll probably be the first quarterback taken in next year's draft. You also have to add in, I mean, how do you discount an Oklahoma quarterback? Jalen Hurts has got even more experience than the last two transfer quarterbacks, and the last two transfer quarterbacks both won the Heisman. So you have to put him in there as a possibility. And the final one I'll throw at you is Jake Fromm of Georgia. You know, Georgia's got a pretty good team, and if they were to knock off Alabama, that would happen right before the Heisman vote took place. And Jake Fromm has a big game against Bama, and all of a sudden they knock him off. I think that would elevate his situation as well.
All right, finally, Phil, got to ask you about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, because there's a lot of Notre Dame fans and alum here in Cleveland who want to hear about the Irish. How do you think they're going to be this year?
You know, last year I was a huge Notre Dame fan because I had my number one surprise team in the country, and the surprise team list in my magazine is a non-top 10 team that I think can make the playoff, and lo and behold, they made the playoff last year. I think this year's Notre Dame team is just as good as last year's squad. I mean, Ian Book is back. Who knows what would have happened in the playoff game against Clemson had their star cornerback not got injured at Julian Love in the second quarter when all of a sudden Clemson took off in that game. And I think the secondary will be better prepared to replace Love this year. Offensive line looks solid. They've got the skilled players. I'm pretty bullish on Notre Dame's talent this year. Not as bullish as about their chances to make the playoff, however. They've got to play Georgia on the road. They're going to play Michigan on the road. And they finish off the season at Stanford. The potential's there where they could be an underdog in as many as three games. The schedule's not as tailor-made to run the table as it was last year. So I think just as good as last year's squad, but probably miss out on the playoff.
Phil, is there a quarterback that we're not talking about that could end up being a top draft prospect next year?
Herbert would be the top guy. Tua is up there, and I think if you're looking for another player that could emerge, you know, Fromm's not really been noticed, but I'm going to throw out Sam Ellinger at Texas. You know, when I talked to Coach Tom Herman, was talking to him about Ellinger, he said that he's the best leader he's had, and this is a guy that accounted for over 40 touchdowns last year, both running and passing. He's proven very durable, and if he leads Texas to some big-time success, I think the NFL scouts will start noticing him.
All right, not too late, of course, to get Phil Steele's College Football Preview 2019, the 25th anniversary. Phil, how can folks get the magazine?
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's out and about. It's at Walmart, Books A Million, CVS, Target, Walgreens, Public, Drug Mart, places like that. It is sold out in a lot of places this time of year, so your best bet might be to go to the website, which is philsteele.com. That's STEELE.com. When you go there, you can order the hard copy of the magazine or download it to your iPad or iPhone, your Android device, Kindle, or even your computer. That is philsteele.com. And then don't forget to follow me on Twitter. It is at philsteele042. That's at philsteele042.
Phil, we appreciate it, man. Thanks.
There's never a game where I don't have the Phil Steele Bible with me right next to me in the booth every single week. It's the best. Thanks so much, Phil.
I appreciate that, Dustin. And great talking football with you guys this afternoon. I really enjoyed it.